This is the BBC.
Here's Tuesday's Scott Mills Daily Podcast. We write some sassy email replies back to your boss that you could never send them in real life. Lots of your stories about borrowing scripts from TV and movies to use in your own important speech. And some great bits of Cheryl Cole before she was media trained. It's amazing. Scott Mills, BBC Radio 1. Sarah from Aberdeen says, my birthday is today. Happy birthday. And many more. Went to see Little Mix last night with my sister Judith. They were unbelievable. Would you go to a Little Mix gig with me, or would you be like, oh, I'm too cool for that?
No, it's not about being too cool. I just don't know.
No, see, they're the band, they're the one pop band, if any, that, like, everyone will go and see and not have any guilt or shame.
Mm.
Everybody.
But it'd be a weird thing for us to do like that. It's not, yeah. I don't know why. Why would it be so weird, actually?
Because
I struggle to let myself go at concerts.
Yeah, you
right?
do. Yeah, actually,
you'd,
you do.
This is the real reason. You'd be happy there, and I'd feel slightly awkward about the situation. Because if I was enjoying a Little Mix concert, I probably wouldn't feel like I would be able to show it
with me. Or with anybody?
Maybe with you, because I think, as I said, I think you're very good at letting go, whereas I think at a Little Mix concert, you've got to dance confidently with hands above head sort of thing. You need to really go for it.
Yeah, definitely hands above head. You can't have them, like, down here.
No, and I'd struggle with that.
And also, you'd be like, oh, he knows all the words to Black Magic. I don't.
Yeah. I'm the wrong person to go with you.
How does he know the second verse in Wings, that kind of thing?
Totally.
I'd show you up. Also, this person says, I'm going to see Little Mix in Birmingham on Friday. I don't know your name, but have a great time.
This is Scott Mills,
BBC Radio 1.
Teen Awards coming up very soon. That's like 2 weeks, just over. Camila Cabello is going to be there. We've got Havana coming next. This is where I imagine you in that Cuban bar late at night with a cigar.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Only because you're pretending to be Cuban.
But a fat one.
A massive fat one. Well, that's not good for you.
No,
so don't do
obviously.
It. But, yeah. Also, at 1:40 today, we started this up yesterday. When you know you've got an important speech coming up, or maybe like some kind of job interview, and you're like, well, I'm useless at writing these. I'm going to borrow it from a movie or lift it straight from a TV show. We got loads of people that have.
Scott Mills.
Hi, Anna Louise in Manchester. Saying, didn't Donald Trump borrow his inauguration speech from Legally Blonde? Well, we don't know that for sure, but there were definite similarities, yes. I mean, some words were changed in that. Some people do it, they just don't know what to do. I mean, admittedly, not often the President of the United States of America, but if you've got an important, like, speech coming up, or, I don't know, like, even an exam, sometimes you... I mean, sometimes there are great speeches in TV shows, you know, like The West Wing or House of Cards, like really kind of inspirational things you can bring to your party, to your wedding, to your interviewer exam.
But sticking up for these people, Scott, before you accuse them of copying these speeches exactly, is it not just a case that when you come to write a speech, that's what's in your head? So you might think it's yours, but it is from Legally Blonde.
I reckon that's what happened with Donald, actually.
Right.
He just loved Legally Blonde so much. Not so much Legally Blonde 2, no one does. And I just thought, yeah. He probably didn't think it might have been an accident.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, it could have been an accident. No, but Chris, the people we're going to speak to in 20 minutes have straight up copied them.
Oh, good.
Coming up.
Scott Mills.
Chris, you need to try and get this today, right? You know, Taylor Swift is rumoured to be dropping her album, I think it's November 10th. She's, like, obviously going to do loads of press and stuff about it and interviews about the lyrics, but at the moment, she's trying to get her fans to notice her on social media, and she's commenting on loads of Instagram lives from her fans.
Oh, is she?
I mean, sometimes it'll only be a hello or I love this, but obviously all the Swifties, are freaking out. Sometimes you just put a ha ha ha, but it's definitely her.
So if I at her in one of my Instagram stories now, she might comment.
Possibly, yeah.
Possibly.
It's happening quite a lot. Have a look.
BBC Radio 1. Scott Mills.
It's actually really good to see people sharing their stories on the World Mental Health hashtag today. It's a World Mental Health Day hashtag, actually. This one says, mental health issues can affect us all. Nothing to be ashamed of. Talking about it makes it easier to handle. Anxiety, fear, depression, look it in the face, call it by its name, seek help, no shame, be kind, accept kindness. It's okay to not be okay. That is Logic, Alessia Cara and Khalid, 1-800 on Radio 1.
Scott Mills.
Borrowing famous speeches from TV or movies, it's okay, isn't it?
I think it's not okay if you get caught.
Yeah, but like if it's your wedding or something, you can't think of anything else. Or like you've got something important, like a, I don't know, like a presentation coming up and you're like, I'm stuck. Sometimes they can just provide a bit of inspiration. Mm. Laurie, you've done this, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
What film or TV show did you borrow from?
I borrowed from the worldwide hit, The Bridesmaid film. And we did the toast, the engagement toast.
Yes, where they're arguing over each other.
Where they're competing for the microphone.
Brilliant. So you tried to trick everyone by doing the bridesmaid speech?
Yes.
Where was this then?
It was at my friend's hen do.
And you completely engineered it? It was your idea?
My idea. I approached the other bridesmaid with the idea and it worked well.
And that's the moment that you started copying the film?
Yeah, so I just started by saying, so most of you know me, I'm not going to do a big speech. I'm just so happy to be a part of this celebration. You two guys deserve each other as well as a lifetime of happiness. Cheers, I love you guys. And then everyone started to like walk off and then the other bridesmaid came and grabbed the microphone off me and said, thank you, Laura, that was so sweet.
Yeah, just like on Bridesmaids, the film.
Yeah, just like on Bridesmaids. But the look on the bride's face was just pure confusion. She didn't have a clue what was going on.
I love the squabbling over the mic bit. I've got it here.
And that's it for tonight. Thank you for coming.
Really quick.
Thank you all for coming.
I just wanted to say really
dessert
quick.
Dessert wine is out. Consuelo?
Oh, so this is amazing. So you've lifted it from Bridesmaids, even though it is a kind of act that you would expect most people to cotton on that it's from the movie, right?
Yeah.
But you, but the bride was confused.
Yeah, she was confused at first because the girl who, one of her bridesmaids, is quite a quiet girl. For her to ever get on a microphone was just sheer confusion. So obviously she was a bit shocked, but then went on to do the entire thing, even as far as the trip to Thailand, Kuk Kum Ka, and then I did the Spanish part as well.
If you know this film, you'll know exactly what you're talking about. Also,
absolutely.
Did you do the bit at the end where they compete to see who the bride's real best friend is by singing?
Yeah, so at the end, I did the Michelle, I can communicate with you with just a look. And I stared at her and then I went, keep shining, keep smiling, knowing you can always count on me.
Right, surely people noticed at this point.
Yeah, people did notice by that point.
This is the clip from the film which you replicated.
Keep smiling, keep shining, knowing you can always count on me.
So good.
For sure. That's what friends are for.
In good times.
And bad times, I'll be on your side forevermore. That's what friends are for.
I made Chris watch that film with me because I said, I know you'll like it. He's like, oh, I'm not keen. And you did like it.
I thought it was going to be awful. It's so funny.
Absolutely brilliant film. One of my favourites. One of my favourites.
Did this cause any tension at all?
Not really. I mean, she keyed my car and deleted me off Facebook. But
what?
I'm joking.
Ah, you had me there.
Joker.
Keyed my car. She didn't. Cool.
She did.
Yeah.
BBC Radio 1 Scott Mills.
Ollie, you alright? Yeah, you?
Yeah, you?
Yeah,
not too bad.
Yeah. Okay, you've been guilty of robbing something from a TV show and passing it off as your own. What was it?
It was the wedding speech from Gavin and Stacey.
Oh, one of the best.
Yeah, it was quite good, I have to say.
Is it Gavin's wedding speech?
It's Gavin's wedding speech, yeah.
Oh, I don't remember this. And I'm a massive Gavin and Stacey fan.
And yeah, where did you do this? Was... Not at your wedding?
Yeah, at my own wedding, yeah.
Oh. Did you just leave it last minute?
No, I'm not very good at writing speeches or even performing it in front of people, so I was really nervous. So I was like,
I don't think most people are. It's really scary.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, so me and my wife were watching the TV programme and I said, can I use this, please?
She said yes?
Yeah, she said yes.
I've got it here. Okay, so this is your wedding speech. This is Matthew Horne as Gavin doing his speech at him and Stacey's wedding.
But the minute I met you, Stacey, I did know. All I can say is you're beautiful and you're funny and you're kind and there's just something in me that tells me I'm going to be with you and look after you forever. Because I love you, baby. That's just the way it is.
Okay, maybe at the time, maybe I cried at that episode.
That's great.
It is great because it's quite generic.
Mm.
So you wouldn't, the first thing wouldn't be like, oh, I lifted this off Gavin and Stacey, or he's lifted it off Gavin and Stacey. But it is quite sweet. It's really sweet.
But if you're already nervous about doing a speech, I would find that more nerve-wracking having to say that kind of thing, because the bit at the end of that, that's just the way it is. Can you just deliver that line for us?
That's just the way it is.
Yeah, and then did everyone cry?
Yeah, I think there was some tears.
Can I have this bit?
I was.
Can I have this bit?
Because I love you, baby.
Because I love you, baby.
No, you're not doing it as heartfelt, though.
Heartfelt, yeah.
Can I again?
Yeah.
Because I love you, baby.
Because I love you, baby.
No, I don't believe that you love me.
Do
it again.
Because I love you, baby.
Because I love you, baby.
That's better.
Because the acting must have had to be on. Because you've lifted it from a TV show, you've got to almost act it more. Because it's not your real words. You don't mean any of it. So you must be a really good actor.
Yeah, I am really good.
Yeah.
Did everyone raise their glass to you? What happened? Did people notice?
Yeah, well, I think the final words of the speech are, can everyone raise a glass to...
Oh, you didn't say Gavin and Stacey, did you?
Mr. and Mrs. Shipman.
No, I didn't say Stacey. I said my wife's name, Becca.
Excellent, well done.
So I changed the names, it was fine.
Love you, bye.
Scott Mills.
One more person who has taken a bit of a famous TV show and maybe claimed it as their own. So, Claire, your presentation has been done this morning, yes?
It has been done, yeah, it was this morning.
Okay, how did it go?
I think it went all right. I'll find out tomorrow.
Okay. Oh, is this for a new job or like a promotion or...?
A promotion where I am within the company that I'm at.
Okay. And could you please tell everyone what you used as part of your presentation or most of it?
It was a presentation about leadership and I used a speech that Frank Underwood made on House of Cards.
Great shout.
Program.
Great shout. His speeches are epic on House of Cards.
I found out about the presentation last week and I was watching it over the weekend and the perfect speech came on.
Wow. Did you change it at all?
May have changed a couple of words, but not really.
Wow. What if they come back tomorrow and go, yeah, but you nicked it off House of Cards?
I don't know what to say to be honest.
Mm. Just say purely coincidental. That's what most people do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Can you give us a tiny bit?
The main crux of it was that leaders shouldn't be afraid of people that don't believe in them or don't believe in their views. They should embrace them.
I mean, it's quite deep, isn't it, for what you were using it for?
Yes, I suppose so, but I was going all in.
Yeah, nice.
When you go for your next promotion, like maybe just go for an actual president, like lift some of Trump's lines because they're good.
Yeah, that might be a good idea. Or I could go for a Theresa May coughing fit.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. We'll see how this one goes.
Massive that you went presidential with it, though. Of all the things you could have chosen, you thought you'd go presidential. Good for you.
It was just the leadership part. It just struck me.
Hang on, haven't you got to do something with a speech soon?
I have, yeah. In fact, it's this week. I'm handing out Duke of Edinburgh awards in front of a royal.
Which royal?
Not sure yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'll find out for you.
Okay.
That's on Thursday, actually.
Right.
And I need to write a speech for that.
House of Cards tonight, then, is it?
It's a great idea, yeah.
Scott Mills.
What I love about doing this show is that you can get an artist or a band on, or you know, some DJs or producers, like we had Disciples on yesterday, and it will be a completely different interview to the one that you would hear if they were to say do it with Annie Mac. Which is a good thing, I think, because like I listen to Annie Mac and I find out loads about the music, what they've been doing, what life on the road's like, what their inspirations are, like proper music stuff. Disciples started their interview yesterday by sniffing their armpits and go, one of us is beefing, mate. One of us is beefing.
And that's our level.
Yeah, that's the level that we're at right now. But I enjoy it. And they seem to have a laugh yesterday.
I was going to say, it's not just us. I think it's nice for everyone involved. Different experiences.
Yeah. I mean, you can use the night time to talk about the music, yeah? When we lower the lights.
And then you can come here, yeah, and sniff your pits.
That's right.
BBC Radio 1. Scott Mills.
This is before the interview with Disciples yesterday. Off-air, discussing the benefits of men's and women's deodorants.
No, you know what? I think women's ones work better than men's.
I agree with that.
Yeah, that's actually true.
Why? That's a trick.
don't know why.
What do you mean you leave out an armpit?
So, like, when I'm washing, I notice that actually sometimes I've left out the right one.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, also only one beast.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, why is that one? And I look back to the morning and think, oh, that's why.
Yeah, that's why.
Just left one armpit out there, Chris, so one beefs. Talking about Annie Mac, tonight, Steph London. That's Steph London, a bit like Flo Rida. It's not. Steph London playing a live gig and Marmosets with Hottest Record. Annie Mac, listen tonight from 7.
This is Scott Mills,
BBC Radio 1.
We've all had that one boss who is just constantly on at you and you don't really know why and you don't know what you've done. One of my friends, I'm not going to name her obviously, has sent me this email. A couple of days ago she sent it from her boss, and she, the boss is also a she, is making the pettiest complaints about her work. Oh, you haven't done this. Like, little things she hasn't done correctly, but, like, being really, really picky.
Mm. And in emails, it's worse, isn't it? Because people can be even more sort of, just horrible.
Well, like, she's just been really short in emails and kind of like, do this at once. I know. And it's been happening for a bit now. So what I did to make her feel better this morning was, like, sent her back what she wants, what she would want to reply with.
Yeah.
So I sent her a sassy reply and was like, send this to your boss. She was like, obviously I'm not going to do that, but I would love to.
Mm.
So I think this is going to be my new service. If you want to send me in, and I won't obviously give any names of you or your boss or your company, I will change absolutely everything. If you want to send me a moany email from one of your bosses and you're like, oh, Scott, can you reply for me? Obviously we'll never send it. But I reckon it'll make you feel better if I write you a sass reply back. Like the reply that you would love to send to that moany email. Send me it, scott.mills@bbc.co.uk.
Scott Mills.
You know everyone budgets each week. You put certain amounts away for like food or rent or like going out. I've just read what David Beckham allegedly allows himself per day.
And well, how much is that then?
Okay, I'm going to give you the amount and let it sink in, all right? £35,000.
Scott Mills.
Everyone's a bit confused about this David Beckham thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's a huge amount of money, right? But he is David Beckham.
Right, so if you had that much in the current account, babes, you would have to limit yourself every day. So you'd be like, okay, what can I... He's like paying himself. So he thinks that 35 grand is a perfectly reasonable amount per day.
Because it covers his lavish
just
expenses.
General expenses. I mean, that's a big, big shop.
This is BBC Radio 1. Scott Mills.
Hello, Will in Dorset.
Yes.
All right, Will. Just a noise. All right, Will, where in Dorset, please?
Near Stamford.
Okay, and what are you doing today? Moving bedrooms?
I am, yeah.
Why?
Downsizing.
You're downsizing?
Yeah.
To a smaller bedroom?
Yeah, not good, is it?
Why is that?
The old deer said.
The old deer said, and any reason?
I'm never here, look.
Oh, you're never there, okay.
You're never there, so they've said, look, there's better use for the space, which is your massive bedroom. You're going to have to downsize.
That's it.
Was there someone else moving in?
My brother.
Oh. hang on a minute. How old's your brother?
18.
Oh, okay.
So younger brother is
and
taking
he gets
your
the bigger room.
I mean,
that's not right.
That's a weird family on, politics it? Going on there.
It's not on.
No, it's just always the older brother or sister should get the bigger room, right?
It's standard.
Yeah, I know. I have told her.
I've told her.
Yeah.
Right, here's what I've got for you today. What a banger. Nicki Minaj, Starships. Minaj.
Very good. Yeah, it is a you song, this one, isn't it, Scott?
100.
My banger choice today, I've gone for a real me song. Like, okay. This is me all over. Obviously, it's The Streets, Has It Come To This. So, The Streets announced last night that they're going on tour, Scott.
I know, you texted me going, I'm so happy.
Mate, the biggest news ever for me. I'm so excited about it.
Don't they keep saying that it's their last one and then there's another one?
Well, I did go to a lot of Streets gigs where it was the last Streets gig, apparently, and it cost me a fortune, but it was well worth it.
It's happening again.
Also, this is the first song that I really remember hearing on Radio 1. I remember hearing this for the first time on Radio 1 and just loving The Streets, loving Radio 1. I think it's where I fell in love on a number of fronts.
Okay. So, it's between Minaj and The Streets.
A good song, both of them.
Both. Is this the Greatest Hits tour?
Yeah.
Oh, they'll be back.
Yeah, it's a suspicious name to give it, but look, I'll take it.
Yeah. You love it.
I don't know. I reckon it's got to be Minaj.
Okay.
So I just gotta take it.
Oh, look at Chris's face.
No,
oh, he was so happy last night about the streets. Now not so happy.
Let's go to the beach. Eat. Let's go get a wave. They say what they gonna say. Have a drink. Clink. Found a Bud Light. Bad bitch like me. It's hard to come by.
Comments include, never mind moving rooms, move him to the shed.
Yeah, I think we can all understand now why his mum's sticking him in the box room.
Yeah. Smaller room makes sense.
Will deserves to live in the cupboard and his brother have both rooms.
Not the cupboard.
After choosing that over the streets.
Please, mum, not the cupboard.
It was a robbery.
Oh, all the streets fans are livid.
Oh, mate.
Tamping.
Considering the news. Heard it on Mr. Jam's show last night. Most exciting news for me in ages.
I know, I'm so sorry. I mean, it's not my fault.
It's Will's fault. Look, we're all looking at Will.
Scott Mills. We all get those emails from our boss that sometimes surprise us, upset us, shock us a little bit. And they're often sent in haste and when they're in a bad mood. But they can be really rude, can't they? And it can kind of really, it can really upset your day, you know?
Also, you kind of get waves of them as well sometimes. Like, it just feels like someone's been really kind of just at you a
lot. Picking at you. And here on World Mental Health Day, I'm asking you, don't bottle it up. Well, you have to, because otherwise you'd be fired. But we've all been in this situation, and we've started to type out what we want to reply, and you go, OK, delete, delete, delete. Mm. I can't actually put that. So today, inspired by one of my friends who is getting a bit of a hard time at work at the moment, you will get the original email from the boss, and some of you sent these in as well, and then you'll get my reply to them, which you want to send, but obviously can't. Get me?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll start with my friend's one. This is from her boss. Are you ready? Here we go. We've had these voiced up. So this is the email from the boss.
Hi, Bella. It appears my emails are not getting through to you. This phone clearly isn't working and has resulted in me not being able to communicate promptly with clients. Can you please, as a matter of urgency, address this with whatever department is responsible for this? There is no point me having a phone if I can't use it for its basic functions. I've flagged problems with this phone before, and I would really appreciate you getting to the bottom of whatever it is that continues to be the problem. Thank you.
Okay, so that's from the boss. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's what you want to put. Dear boss, it appears you're a complete shaft. The phone clearly is working because otherwise I wouldn't be receiving your pointless emails. You are completely right, though. The one thing I can agree on is that there is no point in you having a phone. You say you're not able to communicate properly with clients. Have you thought for a second that the reason you haven't heard from them is because they don't like you? Just like me! I've contacted the department responsible for this, as you suggested, and they have suggested a place that you could shove your phone. I'll leave that with you. Kind regards, Bella.
And oh, it's so good. And that is the reply that you want to do.
But you never could.
Oh, it's quite good hearing it. Out on the radio, though, it's almost like you can vent this way.
It makes
good,
you feel
yeah.
good. It makes you feel like you've written it
yeah.
down and sent
yeah,
it,
like
but
it.
You haven't, and you're not going to lose your job. Next one from one of you lot. Actual email from a boss here.
Hi, Gemma. Would be good to catch up regarding the Liverpool project sometime, as I know there isn't long to go before that needs actioning. Thanks for all your work on that. Gemma, I'm slightly annoyed I have to email you about this, but once again I'm confronting several hours of my two pet hates. I have a person sat in front of me infrequently kicking me. Worse than that, I'm sitting backwards on the train, which is making me feel sick. There are empty seats all around, so I can only assume you or the company you used didn't check what you were reserving. This isn't the first time this has happened, and it's not good for anybody. Please check this properly in future.
Dear boss, thanks for your kind words at the start of your email before you turned into a complete cactus. Babes, you're on a train. Chill out. It happens. Also, you're not the driver of the train, so why do you need to be facing forward? I note you said there were empty seats all around. May I suggest you use your legs, unless they've been kicked so hard that you can't walk, to get up and walk not very far to one of the empty seats. If your company was doing slightly better, You could have even treated yourself to first class. As for the sickness, next time, bring a sick bag. Or do you want me to put that for you as well? Like it?
Yeah, this is good.
Makes you feel good, right?
This is good. And I think whoever sends these in as well, I think what's really nice about it is you are venting what
for
they're
you.
Thinking.
I'm doing it for you.
BBC Radio 1. Scott Mills.
This person says, just finished work after a long day of responding to emails from my boss through gritted teeth. Sat in my car outside my house listening to this. Can't go inside until it's finished. So glad I'm not alone. You actually could if you had the BBC Radio iPlayer app. Because you could just put on the app and then you
good
can go
point.
In the house.
Yeah, very good
go in the
point.
House, still have a song.
Well played there, Scott.
Thank you very much. Got to deliver the message when you can, yeah?
Yeah, totally.
Get on that app, babes. All right, so I've got one more. Annoying boss email. Oh, Leah and Lincoln as well. Howling at these replies, just what I need after a day at work where I can't sass like you can. I know, I'm doing it for you. Here's another actual email from a boss.
I'm still sitting in Gatwick waiting for my flight to Edinburgh. There's a delay until further notice. I think we need to reschedule our meetings for less busy times. It's packed here and it's boiling hot. Nobody seems to know when the flight will actually take off. I will now be far too late getting home to see my kids.
Okay, dear boss, whatever name is. I'm sorry I can't control the temperature from where I am, my dear. Perhaps to cool down, you could stick your head in the toilet and ask someone to flush it for you. Sadly, I'm not friends with Richard Branson to ring the airport and ask them to make it less busy for you. And let's face it, if I was, I probably wouldn't be here putting up with your rubbish. As for scheduling meetings at less busy times, when do you suggest that would be? It's an airport, hon. Oh, even I feel better, and I didn't even...
It's great.
I didn't even send these emails in. Now people have got the idea of this, they're not being as scared to send them in to me. Remember, everyone will remain anonymous. Scott.mills at bbc.co.uk. If you want me to sass your boss in the way that you can't.
This is
Scott Mills.
BBC Radio 1.
I've got a good email from work from someone that's not going to be named. He says the whole team just got this email from our boss. She doesn't work in the same office as us. She sent it shortly after being in our office and laughing and joking with us. I know for a fact it was about me, and it's pretty savage. Don't worry, give me tonight to work on that. I'll probably have a sassy reply for you by tomorrow. Somebody was saying, let's get other people on who have accidentally sent a reply like that to one of their bosses. I think keep it like this, it's better.
Yeah, I think we've got a good thing going with this. Because you can't say these things to your boss.
No, but you really want to. Let's keep it to things you wanted to write, because I think therefore healthier for your mind and also career long term.
Scott Mills.
Look what you just made me do.
Do it again.
Do what you just do, what just you made me just do. I can never do it, no. And that wasn't even close.
Look what you made me do.
Hang
look
on, I've got it.
Look what you made me do.
Look what you just made me do. Look what you made me do.
Was
that it?
Yeah, no.
Was that it? I thought I had it.
Look what you just made me do. Look what you just made me do. Thank you.
Yes.
I don't know
if I had it. If someone at some point... Please download the Scott Mills Daily and let me know if I actually nailed that.
Because everyone's going to do that.
Well, it's like we need an action replay almost immediately, don't we?
I mean, if you do listen to the podcast, let us know if you got it right.
Scott Mills.
The Pussycat Dolls were mentioned on yesterday's show. I know. I mean, none of us have mentioned them for a while, but they're going on a reunion tour, which is why we mentioned them. And Chris was saying that if you look back at old Pussycat Dolls videos, it's kind of clear that they don't really like each other that much.
No. And it's the obvious dramas that I think we all realise now that, you know, they had a lead singer who was pretty much the almost solo star.
And made it quite clear that she was the solo star. After we said this yesterday, I was looking back at loads of videos and found myself in a bit of a YouTube hole. And there's some amazing, amazing performances, live performances, of where... Nicole Scherzinger is giving the other one, or one of the other ones, absolute evils because she's like singing her part.
Mm.
She's like, no, I don't think so.
That's my job.
That's me. I'm the front runner here, guys. So one of our listeners pointed this out. They said, heard you mention Pussycat Dolls yesterday, and it reminded me of when Cheryl Cole was, when she was first in Girls Aloud and before she was media trained. So what they do to new pop stars, you might not know this, is they do get trained to speak to journalists, like from newspapers and magazines and online. to know what things they should say and what things they really shouldn't when asked questions. It's kind of like an inbuilt filter which you need to kind of learn if you're going to speak to journalists. Otherwise, you're just going to say what's on your mind, and before you know it, it's a massive headline.
So this was the point early doors where Cheryl didn't have that filter, right?
Well, and, not really, no. And it's fascinating.
Well, it's great because it means she's talking.
Yeah.
Because normally you don't. Well, in fact, you don't really hear her talk all that often, do you?
It's fascinating, and I also found myself looking at these last night. Videos of early videos of pop stars before they obviously had the media training. Yeah. So this is early on Girls Aloud, right? Here's Cheryl on whether the Pussycat Dolls are only a success because Nicole Scherzinger is the only one that can sing. Listen to this.
You never get the chance to hear anybody else, so you just assume she is, apart from that girl that really annoys me that goes, yeah, all the time. You never really hear anybody else.
No, you don't hear her. You don't hear her talk like that, do you?
Apart from the one that annoys her.
But could, Cheryl, could Nicole Scherzinger maybe have a solo career?
I don't know if she could. I don't know if she could.
I think that's why they launched
her with
the girls in the beginning.
So many fantastic solo artists out there. You've got the likes of Beyonce,
Christina,
you know, Britney when she's at her best.
Also, Cheryl not impressed with bands like All Saints returning.
If it all starts up again, it's going to be like for every band has the same success as Electra, it's going to freak me out. I think I'll have to leave the country.
Oh, it's so good.
Scott Mills.
We're back tomorrow from 1 on BBC Radio 1. Listen wherever you are on the BBC iPlayer radio app. Scott Mills.